Well, it's really good to be here this morning in this place. It's fresh, it's new, and even just what we just sang, when we acknowledge the Spirit of God, when we acknowledge His presence in our place, it changes what we see, it changes what we seek. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, really. And I'm really excited about it. We have kind of come to this point in this Heart Check series. We've sort of labeled this our commitment weekend. This is sort of the weekend we've been ramping up to. And we've been kind of sharing along the way that we will trust God, that He is our firm foundation, even in the midst of a pandemic, even in the midst of political tension that's still kind of going on, even in the midst of all of that, we stand firm in the foundation of Jesus Christ and trust that He is calling us to press on and to continue to do what He has called us to do as a church for the past decade, and that's to work with partner organizations and ministries and not just be transactional in our relationships with people and ministries and organizations, but actually transformational. And so we've sort of come to this point today where it's sort of like the what next moment. What do we do now? What do we do with what we've learned? And so we're going to continue to do this. We're going to continue to learn about the fact that when we see the way Jesus sees, it calls us to have a heart of compassion. It calls us to move forward and do with the feelings we have inside of us. And so we're going to explore that this morning in a passage found in Mark. And it's in the first chapter of Mark. And it's really an incredible moment because it's sort of where the disciples that are working alongside and following and learning from Jesus are faced with a heart check moment of their own. Sort of a what's next moment of their own. What are we going to do with what we're about to witness and what we're going to see Jesus do in this passage that we're reading this morning? And so, again, it's found in Mark chapter 1, and this is the first year of Jesus' ministry. And so Jesus has sort of come onto the scene. He's already sort of shaken some things up. He's already cast demons from people. He's already done incredible miracles. He's already taught things that are sort of countercultural to the culture of the day, and even countercultural to the religious leaders of the day. And so there's an energy surrounding Jesus, and crowds are developing around Him everywhere He goes, and people are always asking that question, what's next? What's Jesus going to do next? And so we're sort of faced with one of those situations as we read this passage. We're going to start in verse 35 of Mark 1. It says this: "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where He prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for Him. And when they found Him, they exclaimed, 'Everyone is looking for you.'" Like, these crowds are, people are like excited about what you're doing. Everybody's looking for you. And look at what Jesus' response is: "Great, let's go somewhere else." "Let's go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also, because that's why I have come." So this is an interesting thing. So the first thing we learn in this passage is that Jesus sees the world differently. Jesus sees circumstances and priorities differently than we would expect Him to see, or maybe differently than we ourselves see at times as well. And it's interesting because there's this crowd of people. They're all wanting to know what Jesus is going to do next. And Jesus is like, "No. I have some other things to do. I have a bigger vision and a bigger mission at hand that I need to continue to stay focused on." And so this is probably a little bit jarring for the disciples, as they're like, "Well, why wouldn't you want to acknowledge these people that want you to minister to them?" Well, Jesus had been ministering to them for quite a while now at this point. And so I think the interesting thing is that Jesus knew that the urgent can distract from the important. And now, let me explain that a little bit. This is sort of sometimes called the Eisenhower principle. And this is a quote that Eisenhower actually himself quoted of somebody else while preaching at a college. He said this, when talking about time management. He says, "I have two kinds of problems, the urgent and the important. The urgent are not important, and the important are never urgent." Now, let me explain that a little bit, because when I first read that in preparing for this message, I'm like, well, I'm not entirely sure I agree with that all the way. But I think we as a culture and we as a society do often mix up and prioritize the urgent over the important more than we probably should. And so I looked into this a little bit more, and the actual definition of an important activity is an activity that has an outcome that leads to us achieving our goals, whether these are professional or personal. The urgent, on the other hand, are activities that demand immediate attention and are usually associated with achieving somebody else's goals. They're often the ones that we concentrate on, and they demand attention because the consequences of not dealing with them are immediate. And so we so often allow ourselves to be distracted by the urgent in our lives, taking us away from the important. And what this also does is it distracts us from really being able to achieve great things rather than just good things in life. Jim Collins, a business teacher, says this, and you probably heard this before, but good is the enemy of great. And that is one of the key reasons why we have so little that becomes great. He continues to say, we don't have great schools principally because we have good schools. He says, we don't have great government principally because we have good government. And then he says, few people attain great lives in large because it is just so easy to settle for a good life. So in saying all of this, Jesus understood these differences. Jesus understood that he was on a mission, a grander mission, to continue to reach out to others, to continue to spread his message to as many people as he could. And so in this moment where the crowds are coming to him and trying to find him, Jesus is like, no, I have done what I have been called to do in this place, in this time, and now we must continue. We must continue to the important. We must continue to spread what is going on, to spread the message of the salvation that I have to offer to other people. He could have stayed there and people would have kept coming and people would have kept coming and people would have kept coming, but he chose to remain focused on his overall mission. And so he understands that difference of priorities there. This is a major reason why we do Heart Check. It's to be able to establish our priorities as a church and as a body. Because it's very easy for us to be able to just continue to focus on ourselves, to continue to make sure we have everything right, to continue to make sure our campuses look the best as they possibly could. It took 6 years to do this because we continually, the carpet I'm talking about, because we continually chose to prioritize other people over ourselves. So finally, we're like, you know what? We can do this. Let's do this together. And so we've got the room we're in. But ultimately, we do Heart Check to make sure that our priorities are what we're supposed to be doing is important, and we're not distracted from the urgent, distracted from the things that are always inundating us each and every day. And so there's this bigger picture that we want to make sure that we continue to focus on as a church. And so that's why we do Heart Check. So Jesus in this moment defines his priorities. He defines that he looks at the world a little bit differently. And so he makes his way through Galilee with his mighty ministry, and he continues to teach, and he continues to do his work and stay focused. But then something foreseeable happens in the next verse. And it's very interesting. It says in Mark chapter 1, verses 39 and 40, this is what happens. So he traveled through Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. So Jesus continued to do this work. He was continuing to reach out. But then while he was continuing to do this, a man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, if you are willing, you can make me clean. If you are willing, you can make me clean. What is Jesus going to do with this moment? The disciples are there. The disciples are looking. They're asking and wondering, what's next? What is Jesus going to do in this instant? His focus has been shifted into this urgent situation that lies right before him. This was not on Jesus' itinerary. It's not what he was intending to have happen. He was traveling from one place to the next to continue to preach and reach the lost. But all of a sudden, he's presented with this option, this opportunity to do something. And what's he going to do? It's funny. Jesus so many times was able to sort of slip through crowds. People would attack him. People would want to kill him or arrest him or do whatever they could, and he would sort of slip through it. Sort of like Josh Allen slipping through the defensive line as he rushes for a first down or a touchdown. Let's hope that happens today. I don't know what will happen. We'll see. This one's a little scary. But so all of these options, but right now Jesus is face to face with this opportunity. So what's he going to do? And this is probably a very painful and awkward moment for the disciples, especially because they knew of leprosy. It was a disease that was very contagious, very deadly. And it was out there, but all of a sudden this man with leprosy brought the issue that was out there and brought it right there. Brought it right there in front of them. You see, it's one thing to know that there's needs in the world, but it's another thing to be presented with them face to face, to see them and to feel them. Jesus was presented with this right to his face, but the disciples were presented with it as well. What was going to happen? We can hear about the incredible ministries that we take place in and we take part of through Heart Check. We can hear about them all we want. We can read about them. But it's one thing to be presented with them. That's sort of what we've tried to do leading up to this point by bringing ministries here for you to learn a little bit about, by putting them before you, by bringing them here in front of you rather than just acknowledging their existence out there. So what's going to happen? What is Jesus going to do? What next? Will he help? Will he heal? Well, we get the answer in Mark 1:41. It says, Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said. Be clean. So Jesus, in this focused time of ministry, the same one who is sticking to his guns, saying, no, we must keep moving, we must keep reaching other people, says, let's do this, and heals the man. And what we learn in this passage right here, specifically with the word indignant, is that Jesus had a broken heart. Jesus' heart was broken for this man. Jesus' heart is broken for you. Jesus' heart is broken for me. And we learn that Jesus did his ministry largely with a broken heart. The translation that we use says the word and uses the word indignant. But it's an odd translation for the word. The original Greek word is this, because I'm not going to try and say it. If you want to, let's, on the count of three, let's all try and say it together. 1, 2, 3. All right. That's the word. I'm not going to try and sound like a very smart scholar up here and say it perfectly. It's just not going to happen. But what it means is to be moved in the inward parts, to be moved in our guts, to feel compassion is another literal translation of that word. Jesus felt compassion. He was moved in his guts. One place we looked when we were doing this mentioned that it talks about the nobler entrails. This is almost sort of rather disgusting, but like your heart, your liver, your lungs, your spleen. This is actually the word where we get our word spleen from. The form of the word only appears 4 times in the Bible, and they're all in Matthew and Mark. All of them are in connection to Jesus. Once is in a parable by Jesus. Once is from a person pleading for Jesus to show them compassion. And twice are like this, the circumstance we're studying this morning, describing Jesus having compassion for somebody. So a literal translation of this could be, it broke Jesus' heart to see this leper. A literal translation could be that Jesus had spleen-shaking compassion. Do we have spleen-shaking compassion sometimes when we see things in front of us that just don't seem right? We probably don't think that or say that very often, but Jesus' guts shook in that moment. It was almost as if he made an audible, oof, I've got to do something with this. I would encourage you, and I've promoted this up here before, but The Chosen is an incredible series that you can watch for free. You can download the app. You can watch it on YouTube. But there's a beautiful scene portraying this. We were going to show it this morning, but it sort of would take us in a different direction. It's a beautiful scene that portrays exactly what we're talking about this morning. I would highly encourage you to watch it. It just brings it to life in a really cool way. But Jesus knew in this moment that he had to do something. And so, yes, Jesus knew that the urgent can distract from the important. Jesus knew that good can distract from great. But Jesus also knew why he had come. He understood the big picture of his ministry and of his mission, and it was for this. It was for this moment. It was for this man. It was for this leper. It was for this place in this time. Jesus felt compassion deep down in his heart and in his soul, and he had to do something with it. He had to act, and so he did just that. It's easier for us to ignore the need when we can't see it, when it's not in front of us. It's easier to go on with our lives when it's not right in front of us. But the thing that makes Jesus different with his priorities is that he doesn't ignore it or avoid it. This is one of those moments where the urgent was important, where the urgent and important collided in an incredible moment of ministry in which Jesus could continue the grander mission by ministering to this individual through a broken heart. So what's next? What do we see next happen? Well, in the next verses in 42 through 45, we see this. We know that Jesus clearly has healed the man. And so it says this: immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning: see to it that you don't tell this to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. This guy couldn't keep it quiet. It was too much. He had to let it out. And as a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. So that was like an earth-shattering moment in his ministry. He was sort of protecting himself from these times leading up to this time. But this time, he's like, you know what? This is where my ministry can explode exponentially. And so he heals this man. This man ends up going out and telling everybody about it. Even though Jesus told him not to, I'm pretty sure Jesus knew he was going to. He goes out and he tells everybody, and Jesus' ministry continues to explode in incredible ways. But the third thing that we learn in this passage that's really incredible is that Jesus wants his disciples to be heartbroken by the need as well. We have already learned through this translation of his compassion and his gut-rattling, spleen-shaking compassion that Jesus' heart was broken in this moment. But what was so incredible in this situation is that he wanted his disciples to experience the same heartbreak that he did. Jesus invites us into these stories that we can follow along through in Scripture because he wants us to experience that same heartbroken compassion as well. One of the things that's right out in the open is the fact that the disciples were there. I think oftentimes when Jesus is doing ministry, we overlook the fact that he's performing these miracles and he's performing his ministry in front of his disciples. And so his disciples were on this three-year training seminar session with Jesus. It was like a three-year immersive, intensive missions trip in which Jesus would take them from culture to culture. And they would hear earth-shattering teachings and they would see this work being done. And then eventually Jesus would say, go and do likewise. Interesting side note, this morning in my devotions, which is the YouVersion app I keep talking about, it was about the Great Commission, go and make disciples, go. Well, the translation of that is actually, as you have gone. It's implied that we are already going. When we acknowledge Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, we are already on the move. What are we going to do as we go? Because it's not an option to go. We're already going. We as a church are already going. We have pressed on into heart check, and we are already on the move. And we're asking, how can we join in with you, Holy Spirit? What do you want us to do? And that's what we're hoping you do as well. Jesus knew, and this is the incredible part about the disciples being with him and us being able to enter into these stories as we read them in Scripture. Jesus knew that his disciples needed to not just be told to be compassionate. He knew that the disciples needed to not just be taught how to be compassionate, but that they needed to be shown so that they too could feel it. Jesus wanted to show the disciples what it looked like to need to be compassionate, what it looked like to have compassion so you could feel it deep within as well. And again, that's what Heart Check is all about. We could stand up here for week after week after week and tell you that you should be compassionate. We can teach you how to be compassionate. What we've tried to do over the course of the past several weeks is show you the needs so you can maybe start to stir a little bit and feel the compassion that is there. We want you to feel it. We want it to be something that you are excited to enter into. Maybe over the course of the past several weeks as we had Erica McFarlane here with Every Child, maybe your heart broke Maybe your heart stirred deep within like Jesus does for the orphan or for Compass Care. Maybe you went online and learned about some of the organizations that were partnering that weren't here with us physically. And you learned about young women or old women, older women who are seeking to have an abortion and how Compass Care comes along and shares the gospel with them and shows them there's an alternative way. Maybe you learned about PATH in the city and how there's human trafficking all around us and that these women need to feel love and acceptance and that they can feel that through Jesus Christ and they can receive that through Jesus Christ. Maybe you were stirred when we heard from Poetis about the young children in the compound living just directly behind them with alcoholic parents and parents that sell themselves into prostitution just to be able to make ends meet and they just don't feel loved or accepted. Maybe your heart stirred a little bit for that. Our hope and our desire is that you would identify with one organization that your heart would stir for, that you would feel compassionate towards, that you would pray for, that you would pray for whatever your financial commitment may be for Heart Check would go toward that organization and change and partner with them and reach beyond anything that you could do yourself. And maybe you actually step foot into their organization and into their ministry and serve those that they are serving to truly feel what this compassion that Jesus is teaching and demonstrating all through the Gospels is all about. That's what we're hoping through this time. Jesus takes us on journeys like this man, this leper. He takes us on journeys all throughout Scripture, just like it, so that we can acknowledge it and see that in our own lives today and so that we can feel the compassion that he demonstrates all the way through it, a compassion that must be acted on, a compassion that drives us to actually make a difference. That's what we want to do is watermark, and that's what we hope and desire God is stirring in your heart to do as well. Jesus was entrusted with a man's suffering, and the shockwaves of his compassion reverberated out into the community. We have been entrusted with stories, and now we have to decide, what is it we're going to do with it? This is the weekend where we sort of choose to make that commitment. Hopefully you've been praying up until this time over the course of the past 5 or so weeks. What is it God would have you do? How can you step in? How can you get involved? How can you be engaged? I think last week, this carpet, I've talked about it a couple times. This carpet is not just a materialistic something that makes this place look better, but what this carpet represents and what I was so overwhelmed with last week was the community that came together to prep for this to go in. So many of us stuck around. It was awesome to see children in here carrying armloads of carpet and armloads of trash outside. It was beautiful to see that happen. All generations, the church was a family in a moment. We came together as a community and did something together and accomplished a goal. Could you imagine if we worked like that and came together as a church, as both the local church and the Big C church, the church universal, if we came together and worked like that out in the communities, in the city of Buffalo and around the world, the difference and the impact we can make, it's unbelievable. And I've seen it happen over the course of the past several years. As individuals who have been a part of our church have switched their mindset from a transactional financial commitment to a transformational engagement in ministry, it's unbelievable to see the change that takes place. It's unbelievable to see where Jesus takes us into the next realm and into the next area of ministry that we can never do on our own. So Jesus' heart breaks for those that he comes in contact with. Jesus' heart breaks for you. It's the very reason why he came down in human form and took your punishment, my punishment on the cross, and died for us because his heart broke for us. His heart breaks for you. And as you understand the reality of that, it's Jesus' desire that your heart would then break for others as well. The whole message in one sentence can be summed up like this. Seeing the world like Jesus means seeing the world through a broken heart. Jesus' heart breaks for you. He wants your heart to break for others. First and foremost, it's important that you even first of all acknowledge that Jesus is your personal Lord and Savior. But as you acknowledge that, as his spirit permeates you, as it begins to transform your mind, your heart, and your soul, your heart will naturally break for what breaks his. You will become in alignment with him through the power of his Holy Spirit and how that combines with the living, active word of God. And so the things that we learn in scripture, we can then do ourselves as we go out. Heart check gives us an opportunity to reach far beyond ourselves because the Holy Spirit can work so much more than we could ever do. Heart check, once again, is all about recognizing that it's not enough to be told to be compassionate. It's not enough to be taught to be compassionate. But we need to be shown so we can feel the need. And just like the leper tells Jesus, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus is willing. Jesus makes him clean. If we are willing, we can make a difference as a church. So the question is, what now? What are we going to do? And so we've sort of led up to this point. We've led up to this moment. And it's always honestly filled with tension. It's hard, as we've, you know, acknowledged. And if for some reason you haven't been here yet, and maybe this is your first time back, you know, we are excitingly expecting God to show up in incredible ways through this. And so we are hoping to, seeking and putting our faith in God that we're going to be able to raise $1.5 million over the course of the next 17 months, giving away 1.1 of that to organizations in incredible ways. And so our hope and desire is that above and beyond your tithe, you will commit to something financially about this. But maybe the pandemic has taken you off guard. Maybe financially is just not an area that you're able to do this in right now. You can still pray. You can still serve. There is a way to be engaged for each and every one of us in this room. We can all be engaged with no excuses in some way, shape, or form. We know we can do this because we put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ, and he is our foundation over and above everything else. You may have received in the mail, or if not, you can actually grab them over there after service. There's a little stand over there at the Connection Center. This is the connection card. Maybe you brought one with you this morning. Not the connection card, the commitment card. And you can fill this out, and there's three powerful ways you can help. It's listed on there. I've already talked about them. I'm not going to belabor it. But our hope and our prayer is that you feel the compassion deep down in your gut to do something, to be a part of this. Because together we can make an incredible difference in it. We can make an exponential difference when we release our resources into the hands of Jesus, the one whose very heart broke for us, and as we continue to have our heart break for others. So that's our prayer this morning. I'm going to pray as we conclude this portion, and then we're going to sing. And I would encourage you to even take that time to continue thinking and praying through what it is God would have you do. We want to be a part of this together, and we're so excited for what the future holds. We just can't wait to see it. So let me pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for all you have done for me, all you have done for each and every one of us in this room, whether or not we've acknowledged it ourselves or not. Lord, if anybody's in this room that has not acknowledged you as their personal Lord and Savior, Lord, I pray that you would stir their heart. I pray that their heart check moment right now this morning would not even be about heart check, but would be about understanding that you are there for them, that your heart broke for them, that you love them more than anything, and that they first and foremost need to receive you into their life. God, I acknowledge that you are my Lord and Savior, and I ask that anybody in this room that needs to say that says it as well, that I acknowledge you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. I ask that my heart would break for what breaks your heart. I understand that I am broken. I am a broken vessel, but you want to work through my brokenness in powerful and dynamic and exponential ways in which I could never do on my own. Your grace has saved me. Your grace has filled me. Your grace has saved us as a church. Your grace has filled us as a church. Your grace has given us compassion and mercy as a church. Lord, allow us to step out in faith, even when the world around us is scary, even when the world around us seems broken. Our faith and our trust rests on you and the foundation that you have laid. It rests on you and the word of God. Fill us with your love. Fill us with your compassion. God, what is it you would have us do? What is it you would have us do? How would you have us work, even in the midst of our brokenness? We love you and we praise you. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen.